Gedanken sind frei, wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliegen vorbei wie nächtliche Schatten. Kein Mensch kann sie wissen, kein Jäger erschießen. Was ich will und was mich beglückt, doch alles in der Stille und wie es sich geht. Mein Wunsch und Begehren kann niemand mir wehren. Es bleibt dabei, die Gedanken sind frei.
Greetings, my fellow listeners to Republic Broadcasting Network. Picture your voice here. You can help support RBN that way and many other ways. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Today is the 18th day of December in the year of our Lord, 2022. And I have some different interesting things that I'd like to share with you. One of them I think I need to do right away was I called into the Mark Dankoff Report on Friday and talked with Patrick Slattery, who was guest hosting, and it's near the end of the show, and when we came back from break, he asked if I meant I was a sovereign, and I didn't hear that at all. I don't know if it was cut off by the break or what, but and I was talking about being a national, and especially about how this one woman recently, how it came to help her as such a good example as to why you really need to change your status. See, we're in a feudal system. And a citizen is a federal citizen. They have no domicile, no rights, and you're under the congressional plenary power. You are under a Congress, you know, out of the District of Columbia. But you can choose to opt out of the feudal system by sending a declaration and on an affidavit to the Secretary of State, who is blinking, winking, and nod at the moment. And on mine, you can use their sentence that they have on their travel.state.gov page where it states that we have that dual status. But on mine, I put my name, and being affirmed by God, declare my intention to be a national and not a citizen of the United States. And that's all I put. I had a cover letter. You have a cover letter. And you can also do that then to all your local, like your sheriff's department, your attorney general in your state, a cover letter with a copy of your affidavit. So you not only spread awareness about it, but put them on notice that you're not a federal citizen. Now, Patrick, like I said, misunderstood, and he said sovereign and how people have gone to jail for not paying taxes. Well, there's ways with this. You can study and learn, and it's actually not that hard because you actually contract every year to pay taxes. So there's many people that haven't paid taxes for many years because they don't owe them, as Lauren in Ohio might say. But Sam, if you can get ready that clip, that 16-and-a-half-minute clip with Sarah's story, I'd like you to play it. This woman and her husband, the father of their 16-year-old, who had been visiting the grandmother in South Dakota for a month, and when they went to get her, there was a dispute about it, and she'll tell you, and apparently her mother has early onset dementia from taking the poisonous bioweapon stab. But is that ready, Sam? Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah from Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. Hey.
So, total not even on the subject, but I feel it important for any listeners out there that haven't gone forward and submitted or their status with the Secretary of State. So we all did it, including our 16-year-old daughter. And we sent her to South Dakota for a month to be with my sister and my grandparents. And my mom, who has early onset dementia, we think caused by her COVID vaccine. But anyway, my mom convinced her while she was visiting that she should stay there. And so we got there and it was brought up to us, hey, why don't you leave Sophia? She's not in school anyways because they don't believe in our how we homeschool. And we were like, absolutely not. You guys are crazy. Well, the day that we go to leave, my mom says to my husband again, hey, would you reconsider leaving Sophia for like a couple months? And my husband was like, no, we're not leaving her. And she says, well, what if she runs away in front of my daughter, who then in turn decides to run off? And we find her 6 or 7 hours later in the ghetto in an apartment building with a boy that we do not know. We had to get the police. Thankfully, we were in South Dakota, drag her out of there in handcuffs. And we were leaving, like leaving the state to come back to Louisiana. And so we put her in between us in the truck and devised that she was given the rebellious spirit and decided to move forward and figure out where to go from there. Well, we get to Colorado at my in-laws, and we had just that planned on a reunification of an estranged relationship that my husband had with his brother for over 10 years. And so we got there and asked her, hey, are you up for going with us to this thing? And so we did, and we jumped out of the car after driving all night and went and visited him, came back to my in-laws. I know the story is long, but it has a point. And she's chatting up my in-laws and seems fine and normal and, you know, obviously not completely because she's never pulled anything like that before, but we're exhausted. And she asks to stay in my in-law's house. And we were like, you can't run away. It's 20 degrees outside. Like, you'll die. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, no, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. Well, we wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to a phone call from Thornton Police Department asking us if we knew where she was. And then in turn told us that she was being transported by ambulance to Children's Hospital because she walked to a neighbor's house after she supposedly, although we don't believe she really did, swallow a bunch of Tylenol. So she ends up at Children's Hospital and we start driving there and we're communicating with the hospital staff, and they told us that we weren't allowed to come and see her because in the state of Colorado, she was put on an M1 hold, which is a 72-hour psych hold. And we're like, well, what does that have to do with us? So long story short, the Children's Hospital tried to kidnap her from us. And when we went in to meet with the psychiatrist who was Russian, she told us that I advise you seek legal counsel. And I said, I advise you have exceeded your jurisdiction and we're nationals. You have no authority or jurisdiction over us or our daughter. And I'll be in touch with the hospital administration. And so we did. And in turn, they ended up saying, hands off. Yep, we have no jurisdiction. Here you go, folks,
right there.
Yep. And if we hadn't had that, this Russian psychiatrist was trying to institutionalize our daughter for 90 days. Oh, and I bypassed a part. And our daughter is very smart because, you know, she's our daughter. She knows about a lot of stuff. And she was trying to pull one over thinking she can go live with my mom in South Dakota. Well, in the state of Colorado, and this is where things got where I decided to pull that card, was that the psychiatrist that we were supposed to meet with at 9 a.m., because we didn't know whether her overdose was true or not or what was going on exactly. And she told us we were meeting them at 9 a.m. to go over all of this with a therapist and a psychiatrist. And she tells us, well, because they wanted us to sign her in for 5 days on a psych hold after her 72-hour hold expired. Well, we go to the meeting and the psychiatrist comes in with a bunch of paperwork that she's holding to her chest and says, well, I don't really have time for you guys because, as you can see, we're really busy and I have to go meet with a family that drove all the way from Wyoming. But I don't need you to sign the paperwork. I met with Sophia this morning at 7 a.m. and had her sign the paperwork because in the state of Colorado, at the age of 12, any child is consenting legally to themselves as far as mental health and or reproductive health.
Hold on. In Colorado, all of the the laws of majority and minority have been waived to 12 years old?
Yep. 12-year-olds can go to school and have a teacher take them to get psychiatric care, an abortion, birth control, a pap smear, anything, and bring them back to school without any parental knowledge or consent.
Oh my God. California, too.
Yep. So, I just wanted to hop in and tell people that, how important it is for you to go ahead. If you haven't pulled the trigger on doing it, I suggest you do.
You never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Sarah, thank you for sharing that.
Hold on, there's four or five people to talk.
Sarah has done two allodial titles successfully, too. She's very bright.
Good.
No one.
That's a great story, Sarah. And it just goes back to prove the power of this affidavit. Okay?
Thank you, Sarah, for sharing
that.
So people that think, if you're listening out there and you think, oh, it's just a piece of paper, what good's that going to do? Well, right here is your example.
Ace in the hole.
They can't overcome it, folks. They can't overcome it without being open tyrants.
Sarah, we got your success story right here.
Right here. What? You were trying to say something, Marco? What?
Yeah, I was just asking Sarah what happened with that. Was it the social worker that got the signature of your daughter?
It was the psychiatrist.
Okay.
I'm astounded that Colorado has lowered the age of majority down to 12 years old. I'm astounded. How can they do that?
Yeah.
Only for citizens of the United States and residents.
Yep. Exactly. And that's exactly what I proposed to them. And I mean, we had a meeting with literally the woman that runs Children's Hospital Anschutz in Denver with about 8 other people and 3 other attorneys. And I showed them everything and said, go look it up for yourself. But you guys have less than an hour to release my daughter. Like, I want her back right now.
Now, this is another interesting point. Go ahead, and I want to inject something. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying they dismissed us from the room, and about 5 minutes later, they called us back in and said, you can go check her out. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, now here's a rebellious daughter, right? Is that we got that pretty right. We got a little rebellion going on. She didn't have to sign the affidavit. The parents did it for her, and it binded them.
Yep.
But wasn't she a national too?
Yes, that's what she's saying. They had filed as parents the affidavit for the Sophia, the daughter, who didn't have to sign it. The parents did it because they've got control over majority and minority.
Yep, but her daughter is a national.
But she's
correct.
Only 16. She needs.
But the daughter didn't have, Nadine. The daughter didn't have to agree to it, even with or without her rebellious spirit. The parents did it, and it applied.
Okay.
Children are property of the parents unless they're property of the feudal system, like most parents are.
Okay, and the 12-year-old didn't apply. The
daughter.
That ruling didn't apply that she consign herself.
That's right, because that is over under the Citizen of the United States and Residence laws, man-made laws. When they shift the law majority from 18 to 12, that's a man-made law, folks.
Sarah, thank you for sharing that.
Was it an infraction of the psychiatrist's part in having her sign the document then?
Well, no, because she didn't have the knowledge of her status at that point. She was running under the presumption that everybody's in that group.
Yes, and I also have a call in, or I'm speaking with someone who's actually very receptive at Children's Hospital, and I have well, we'll see, but an investigation going on because this was straight up they were going to kidnap her. There was going to be no option whatsoever to, like, the psychiatrist was even talking about after her getting a judge's order to be placed on a 90-day psych hold, that after that, they were going to transfer her to foster care.
I was just going to say that she's going straight into the hands of CPS.
Exactly. And so what my husband and I have brought up to Children's Hospital is that you guys are actively kidnapping children, and you can't tell me that a psychiatrist who makes her money off of every child that gets admitted, every medication that gets dispersed, and every meeting or appointment that she has with a child, that she's not financially motivated to do so.
That's
and
right.
Thankfully, here's another thing that our daughter, because she is very bright, even though she ended up getting a rebellious spirit, that they approached her over 7 times to get her COVID shot.
Woo.
7 different times, and she refused every time. And they tried to persuade her. She said each time there was a 30-minute conversation about why she needed to do it and how we neglected her and were neglectful parents for not having her get her COVID vaccine. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous game when it comes not only to yourself and the adult legal system, but your kids, because had we not had this, we wouldn't have our kid right now.
Can you go over exactly how you did this? What exactly did you do?
They put her in foster care. The state of Colorado gets paid. The hospital gets paid. All those people get paid off.
Sarah, how did you?
Now, there's 4 or 5 people trying to talk at once. We can't do that.
Right. I was trying to figure out, Sarah, if she can go into detail. What did you do? Like, if someone else on this call gets in the same position as you, what are the steps they have to take? Hey, listen, you got to take this document and go here. So that way.
First thing you got to do is do an affidavit for your children. Before that, you ought to do it for yourself. Okay? So that's the first step. That removes you from the jurisdiction. Then you got to understand the information and have some testicles or breasticles, just like Sarah and her husband did, and stand up to these bastards.
Should be a wake-up call for the daughter to see how her parents are handling this, too.
So,
and
what,
Mark is asking Sarah what documents she showed the administration and lawyers.
Our affidavits.
All right.
Remember the case recently with the guy in Missouri, Chris, in front of the judge? And the judge gets him in his chambers, and he looks at him and goes, I read your affidavit. That's all he said. He didn't comment on it. I read your affidavit. That is acceptance, folks, right there.
Hey, Roger?
Yes, Nadine.
I read a book called Prepare for War, and the copyright is 1987 by Rebecca Brown, M.D. And do you know, I was shocked when I found out what this war was. There are a lot of Satanists in the medical system.
Oh, my God. All these institutions are now eat up with them.
Yeah.
Eat up with Satanism.
Yeah.
Serving mammon.
Satanists. Devil worshipers.
They're putting it right in front of you now.
Well, it's child procurement services, not protection.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's 4 or 5 people trying to talk. Paul, you got something to say? Go ahead.
I would like to point out the obvious, just in case anybody missed Sarah's story. If she had not been a national, that story would have turned out differently. If her husband had not been a national, that story would have turned out differently. And if they had not filed an affidavit for the child, that story would have turned out differently.
You'd be mother and father in absentia at this point.
Exactly.
And the child would disappear.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Sarah, thank you for bringing that to us. It's a wonderful success story, and it's a great illustrative thing for everybody else that's listening on just how damned important this is.
Yeah, I saw her posted in the chat, and I said, please bring it on air. I didn't know it was that much detail, though. Wow. All through different states and everything.
Congratulations, Sarah. You and your husband did a great job. Obviously, you've got command of the information. You confronted authority, and authority went away. And you got what you wanted and what you should have.
And, Roger, please make sure.
Thanks to you, Roger.
Well, I'm just thanks to you for being great students and following through, Sarah.
Roger, please make sure you repeat that story on Thumper's show.
I'll try.
If you got to tie him to his chair and unplug his microphone, repeat that story on Thumper's show.
Thumper's a star, man. Come on. You know, there's the connecting. We're connected. Oh. Here comes some music. I got to hit all the right buttons.
Oh, that's good, Sam. You can stop it there.
Yeah, I don't know how that other one cut in there, but that was the end of that part. But I guess we're about to go to break, but there's a man named Theo. We sometimes have 100 people on the Jitsi board, and this goes on 6 days a week. So we all learn a lot from each other, but that's a magnificent story. And this man Theo in Florida has some vision impairment and is a national, has switched his status. And the sheriff's department sent people out and kept asking him, are you a sovereign? And he said, no, a national. Over and over, they're asking him. So that's all you have to say. Do what you got to do. Send in that affidavit to the Secretary of State. Become a national, not a citizen. So that's your citizen's evidence. And the actual sentence on the travelstate.gov says, I, in your name, being duly sworn, declare my intention to be a national, not a citizen of the United States. But I switched out being duly sworn for being affirmed by God. And that's really all you have to do, even if you don't want to use it for anything, if you just want to switch your status, even if you want to just keep paying taxes, say your other half is, you know, you're concerned about worrying them too much or whatever, you know. But the reason I did it was because my domicile is in New Jersey, and I live here in an abode in Wisconsin. So they sent me a jury, you know, summons for New Jersey. So that's when I pulled the trigger, as Sarah said, and that's when I sent in mine on August 30th. And they sent me back the card from New Jersey. Nope, we grant your request. That sounds feudalistic, doesn't it? Yeah. So they'll try again in a few years probably, but they'll just get a copy of the affidavit again. Are we on break or about, I think? No? Oh, thank you, Sam. I didn't know we were skipping the first break. Yeah, but there's so many incidences of how this has helped. And people with their businesses, they can make it a, you know, so it pays through, so they get the profits, and the business gets the tax, and you don't owe any tax. You know, you really need to learn the material yourself, though. It's a fairly simple process once you know the information, like Sarah does, you know? You have to learn the information, but it's so helpful to be, so sometimes people say, oh, I don't hear you calling to RBN much. Well, I'm usually over there learning, you know, and sharing what I find and posting links and all that good stuff. So, but this is a very important thing to do. And, you know, Jeremy and Patrick had Brother Nathaniel on their show last week, And Ingrid had him on her show at my request. He lives up there in northern Idaho where she lives. And he's been talking a lot about secession, that's the way to go. But this is what you have to do first. Secession may work, but you want to become a national and then take your county back first. Then we can work on the states. And the federal system will wither on the vine, as it should. You know, but there's a lot of different different things that go on, and I want to tell a couple of tales. I'm an Aquarian like Dean Lloyd, so I like to tell stories about my experiences, I guess. And, you know, when I worked at a casino for more than 8 years over there in New Jersey, it was a necessary thing I had to do, and Usually I worked nights, but occasionally it was different hours. You know, it was like at 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. But, well, to tell the truth, what happened was they got a president switched from another casino, and I guess he'd done some crooked dealings, but he dropped the last letter off his name and added a different letter, so he became a whole new person. So his cohort that drove his Bimmer for him and everything, his mother, the mother of this fella, was given a job in the, well, it was a credit department, but it's all in the cage there with the cashiers and the banks and all that, and I had learned all that stuff. But so she was in there, and a diabetic, she'd forget and leave her insulin out, and I'd put it in the fridge, and the woman had some seniority over me that worked the day shift, wanted my night shift, so she didn't have to deal with this woman. You know, because she'd do things that, you know, just wouldn't follow proper procedure or ask if she had a question. And so she would therefore sometimes close down accounts of whales, you know, these really big guys, because she'd get some faulty information to update their account with. And but I got along all, you know, all right with her. So I was getting off at 4 a.m. I guess that's what that one was. And it might have been when I got off of one. Well, in any case, I was driving home and through the swamps there in New Jersey on two-lane, fairly narrow road, and came around the bend, and here's a state trooper poking along behind this poor fellow peasant beyond in a, driving a heap that looked like it might not make it to the next stoplight, you know, if you could find one out there, but a stop sign anyway. And so they're just creeping along. And I wanted to get home. It wasn't that much further home, and this was just ridiculous. But I never would have thought to do this. I'm sure I was guided to do it and serve as perhaps an angel to this other driver. But I put on my blinker and pulled around the state trooper, and the other guy sort of crept away, and I put on my blinker and pulled back in front of the state trooper. So a little way down the road, he, you know, stopped me and looked at my ID and whatever, and you could see I lived nearby, and you know, asked me why and whatever. I said, I'm just tired. But recently in the news, there had been an article about how you shouldn't mess with women in that certain time of the month. So I don't know if that was prevalent in his mind or what. But so that was kind of interesting, you know. But there's so many interesting stories I'm sure we all have. But one in particular, and it was when I came out here, and I had been staying east of here, had made a friend and was staying there and helping them and some projects and things, and found this property, and we're getting it set up for the winter, which I, you know, didn't know quite what I was going to be into. I figured I probably wouldn't have adequate heat. But so in August 2008, while I'm thinking on all these things and wondering, I'm headed back east to go to use my friend's phone to call even further east out to, you know, the Atlantic coast here. And I came around, you know, it's a kind of curvy road and steep hill on either side. And I guess I'm a little, you know, a little thinking about other things and maybe going a little bit too fast. And I'm driving an old Volkswagen, a 70. Oh, there's my brake. Okay, cliffhanger. Mein Wunsch und Begehren kann niemand mir wehren. Es bleibt dabei, die Gedanken sind frei.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Look outside, the stars are shining bright. Even though it's turned a little colder, we can light a fire, stay inside. Hear the angels sing, hear the angels sing. Hallelujah from above. Sing in peace on earth, there'll be peace on earth if we open up our hearts and give a little love. The greatest gift is love. Those we love no longer give. Together take a moment and be grateful for the joy, for the tears. Hear the angels sing. sing, hear the angels sing, hallelujah from above. Sing in peace on earth, every peace on earth, if we open up our hearts and give a little
Sam. Yeah, the greatest gift is love. That was Andrea Bocelli with his two children, Matteo and Virginia. And it's just a beautiful song. But where I was there with the on the curvy road with the steep hills and the orange Volkswagen, well, it had 1172 on the door frame in Spanish, so I guess it rolled off the assembly line in Mexico at that time. And it wasn't even my car yet. I had been loaned it because my nice little two-door RAV4 96, I'd gotten them when they were new, and it was served me so well for a long time, and my children using it, and my husband, great little car, was parked next to where I was staying in this little town, and the lady there had said, I don't know, you probably ought to not park there, and there were paint streaks on the road, you know, it's a little back into the town, and I had asked what that was, and here this man that was drunk came through and crashed. He had a truck with a lot of paint in it, and that had happened about 5 years prior. Well, don't you know, on November 22nd of 2006, I was the only one awake in the house, and so I looked at the clock when I heard the crash. It was 10:37 p.m., and I went out to see what happened, and and called the police, and a deputy came. But what was interesting was it was the same man, it turns out. And I could hear him revving his engine at the end of the street. You know, it was a dead-end street. I mean, you got to turn left or right. But he's revving his engine there, and I thought, well, that's odd. And he was coming from the bar, and he was all cranked up, I guess. So anyway, he came around that corner and smacked right into the front of that RAV4 and pushed it back about 50 feet. Maybe less than that, but so it mangled it. And so happens, the next house over on the street was a state trooper's family. And, you know, they were concerned their daughter come home and this guy be on the loose again. Because I put a sign in the window who it was and everything. But very fortunately, thankfully, a couple down on the next corner saw the car go fly, the truck, it was a pickup truck, go flying by. And they recognized it as someone they'd known that had the truck and had just sold it. So they got busy and found out who bought it and so where they were. So when the deputy arrived and he got the information, and he got over there and the vehicle was even still warm. And I had a little damage. Well, it actually knocked off the plate that said what kind of car it was, right, truck it was. right by my car. So I kind of internalized that, but, you know, got a little high blood pressure after that. But, you know, I don't act out on that kind of thing. But you have to thank God for everything that happens. You know, even things that seem bad. All they're doing is sharpening you for his purpose he has for you. And so I'm always thankful anymore, because I had been contemplating taking, you know, going back to New Jersey, but I also had dreams about being back in New Jersey and not wanting to be there, wanting to be where I was, you know, or at least in this part of the country. So anyway, she was letting me use her car, and that's whose Volkswagen it was. And I did later buy it from her. But anyway, this is the really important part, because it's a miracle. I clipped the edge of the pavement with the front tire on the passenger side. And, you know, I mean, the steering's not real true sometimes on those older Volkswagens. And I may have been going a little too quickly. In any case, I started to lose control, started to go all over the road. You know, I didn't have any gas on or anything. I was just trying to slow down. And I cried out. I said, "Jesus, please help me." And the car then went into the opposing lane and stopped dead. It was like part of the pavement. And I thought, oh, no, now what, right? And he said to me in my head, he said, "You asked for my help. Now let me." And my hands flew off the steering wheel. Steering wheel flew in one direction really fast, turned, and then back again. And I guess, I don't know if the gear shifts were operating too. I don't know what was going on. I wasn't driving it. He was. And it turned and backed down the very steepest part of the hill and came to rest against the fence. And it was an electric fence, but not very hard, but it was very steep. So I was there sitting with my Swiss Army backpack on the passenger seat. And we're sitting there aimed at the sky like Apollo astronauts or who they imitated, actually, the Sumerian carvings of pilots in a similar position, aimed at the sky. And so I was thankful. But before he left me, he said, "The inertia had to go somewhere." And he's always with me, but that was very intense. So I got out of the car, climbed up the hill and out to the road, and there's no traffic. You know, I was concerned about traffic coming the other way and everything when I was in the wrong lane. Still no traffic. I walked down the road and down their lane and climbed the cattle fence and on down to their house. Still no cars. So I got to their house, and the man, the two little dogs greeted me, and the man and woman came, and I pointed over, and they could see, and they said, "Oh, you know, do you want to call a tow truck?" You know, because they had two other women over the years, and not that many years they had been there, actually, had gone off the road. But they said, "You went down the very steepest part." I thought it was odd that people went off there. But they do have some nice-looking Scottish Highlander cattle and stuff. So anyway, as we walked over there, I said, "Well, would you mind cutting the electric fence and letting me, you know, turn off the electric and cut the fence, and you can mend it back and drive out through the pasture?" And, yeah, I mean, it's a much more efficient way to handle it. And they agreed to, and, you know, didn't really say anything about what I would owe them or anything. You know, they just very kindly did that. And while the gentleman was going and doing that and getting his tools, the wife, turns out she had designed the house. So she was showing me around a little bit and gave me some seeds, and we talked, and it was very, she introduced me to some of the Scottish Highlander cattle. They were very cute. There was a panda cow that looked like a panda because it was crossed with the Callaway Belties, you know, Belted Callaway, which are black on both ends and white around the middle. And so they had those markings, but yet that was a Scottish Highlander cattle. And one butterscotch, and, you know, anyway, so they would go around the field getting apples that would roll in. There were apples planted around, but the hills were too steep to go pick them, so it was very nice for the cattle to go check wherever the apples rolled in. So we went back over, and the man had finished fixing, you know, cutting it, and I drove the car out, and they put it back together. And I said, "What do I owe you?" And he said, "Well, $20 at least, I guess." And I had a $50 bill in my wallet that I've been carrying since I'd come to Wisconsin. I'd been there for 5 years, and it was very often the only money I had. But, of course, that's what that was for. and I gave them the $50, and and drove out. And but this was to me just like telling me not to go back to New Jersey. This was Jesus telling me he needed me here. He wanted me here. He didn't need anything, but he wanted me here because I was concerned. I knew it wouldn't, it'd be my first winter here, and and eventually all the pipes did freeze enough that over time that I just turned off the main thing for the, because that pipe ran along the north side. So, I still have water coming in from the well. Comes in through the bedroom closet, but that's all right. There's a spigot in the bedroom closet. So, such is life out in the wilderness. And but it was so interesting to me, and I think of that every day. And I have that orange little Volkswagen sitting here where I can see it. Someone thought they might want it and change their mind, and it was just as well anyway. And it's getting really rusty. Snakes crawl in there and shed their skins, because it had a lot of rust before. But I wouldn't mind fixing it up again just to have something that would run nice like that, But it had the California emission stuff on it, so that could come off and would be a lot more. Run a lot better. It had a new engine in it, but of course all that stuff it's not to worry about, but it gives me a lot of thought every day. And there's been many other times, and I'm sure you all have circumstances like that. But and if you want to call in, the number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And a third time, 512-248-8252. And I really want to talk about whose birthday it is and the reason for the season. So I hear people doubting about Christ and how the Bible was made up, and we have Atwell and different ones about the Caesar's Messiah, and even people that believe in the Old Testament and everything about it, but they fail to see that every bit of the Old Testament speaks of Christ coming. That's why they did sacrifices with the lambs, the perfect lamb. Everything about the Bible talks about Christ coming. And in fact, the sky, everything in the world talks about him. I'd hoped a friend might call in about the Maseroth, because I'm not well versed in it. I didn't learn about it until recently from him. And it's only mentioned once in Job 38:32 in the Bible. But it's about the zodiac, the astronomy, not just the astrology, but every bit of everything talks of Christ. He is the creator. He was the invisible God made visible. And so it wasn't just his incarnation, and he wasn't, he's fully God and fully man, but even so, his own family and the people around him didn't accept him for who he was, so it's understandable that a lot of people would doubt now, but that is the difference. Everything is either Christ or Antichrist, believers or non-believers. Sense knowledge, as Dr. Lorraine Day says, or revelation knowledge. And sense knowledge is just what you can see, feel, your five senses. And that's where people get hung up. They can't see, even though you have to admit there's invisible forces. There's supernatural forces. The devil wants you to think he doesn't exist because he's lower than God, and he lost 2,000 years ago, but he's playing the game out, and there's many to help him. I mean, we live in a satanic, child sacrificing, sex death cult. I mean, it's undeniable. And as Blackbird 9 said yesterday evening, Frederick C. Blackburn, there are systems to build up, and there are systems that destroy. And we live in one that destroys. And unfortunately, the synagogue of Satan are a big proponent of that. They are Satanists. And they want to destroy. And you can say many by their name. It kind of gets a little tiring to do so. But it's fact of life. And people don't want to recognize those facts. And we have like Ye and Fuentes and different ones speaking out. And thank God they are. People need to know. Because the whole Holocaust thing, the Holocaustianity, they're having such trouble keeping alive. It's a lie. Everything about that is a lie. I'd like to have Harry Cooper from Shark Runners on sometime. He knows all about the Germans. Apparently he had a sore throat or laryngitis and couldn't, and his son too. So So he wasn't on his regular monthly visit with Jeff Prince on Thursday. But I was going to see if he might come on one of my remaining four shows. That would be fun. I'd like to hear from him because he can tell you the details. He has a book, Hitler in Argentina. You know, it's undeniable. He, Bormann, had him and Ava drugged so they could abduct them to South America. That was part of the trade-off for getting all these German scientists. And I've brought this up before. For this country, and the Soviets got some. But these were the booby. These were the gifts. These were the prize, the pirate's prize, to have all these German scientists. Oh, I heard a blip. Let me see. Let me get on the Skype. Oh, good. I was just going to look. Yeah, bring them on. Oops, I started the YouTube by accident. Let me turn that off. Okay, Tom in Utah, please come on board.
Hi, Mer. Hey, I have to ask you about your experiences back in New Jersey. So you're working at the Meadows? Isn't that what they call that?
No, there were 12 casinos in Atlantic City. Yeah, I worked in one of them.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking when you said you were driving, working at a casino, I was thinking right away of the Meadows.
That's in Connecticut, right, I think?
No, it's right across the
Meadowlands
from Jersey City.
Okay, now that might not even have been there when I was there. You know, that casinos got started in like the 70s, and I think a lot of it was to recycle money.
Uh-huh.
You know, as an operation. But yeah, it was
so
pretty
crazy. All of that experience you had was while you're near Atlantic City.
Yeah, and you know, on my way in my little RAV, or actually even before I had that, I had another car, a little Hyundai Scoop, and it had it turned out I was reading in a magazine, car magazine, and they had put these wheels in them that would leak air. And so when I had it in for something, because it would get flat tires all the time, and I saw other ones like it parked on the curb with a flat tire. And so I told them about this, and they switched out all the wheels, so that was good. But on my way to work, I would, you know, have the radio off, and I thought of it as meditation, but it's really prayer. You know, but I would be listening to make sure the car was going to be running all right, because I'm in the middle of the night, you know, riding around, so going to work and sometimes coming off at work. But I would say, please help me. The biggest thing I'd say was, please help me be loving and kind to everyone, you know, because that's really the only remedy.
That is the only remedy. Yep.
And it
blessed are the merciful, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Yeah.
We need mercy.
Don't we, though? You know, when I hear people acting as if Christ didn't exist, you know, or that the whole Bible is just nothing. And I heard one say, and she was a guest the other night on one of the other shows, but she said at one time that Jesus couldn't even save his tribe of Judah, and they killed him. Well, this is sense knowledge, okay? This isn't revelation knowledge. You miss the whole point. So,
well, unfortunately, the keepers of the Bible put their fingerprints in there, messed it up a little bit, but
oh, sure did.
Somehow
many,
God has
many
preserved.
Mistranslations. For instance, Jews, there are never any Jews in the Bible. There were Judeans and there were Judites, you know, but they put that word in there. And they try to change things, like in 2 Thessalonians, where they say they killed the prophets and they killed Jesus Christ. They want that out of there. I think it was in 2018, they had a Jewish conference in Vienna, and that was one of the scriptures they mentioned. But they wanted to put anti-Semitic warnings in the Bible and the Quran. Oh, sorry, that's hilarious to me. I mean, anti-Semite, I can't even admit, it means nothing.
Yeah, the scribes and Pharisees have always manipulated the scriptures that they gave out after they had. It's kind of like the experience of St. Francis of Assisi. He was pointing out the fact that the Vatican was in error, and they were not very, grateful to hear that condemnation. So I don't know if anybody ever watched the movie The Rose. Sean Connery played the part of St. Francis, and St. Francis was the, you know, metaphorically the Xerox copy machine. When he found out that what the Vatican was pushing was in contradiction to what the original writings had, and he challenged them on it, they went after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I remember that movie. I think it was The Rose of something, because The Rose, I think, wasn't that the Bette Midler movie? But, yeah, the Rose of something, yeah. Maybe it was just The Rose, but I do remember that, yeah, and how in translation.
Yeah, it was in the theaters only 1 or 2 days, and they got it pulled. Somebody didn't like that.
Well, you know, John Voight, the father of Angelina Jolie, right?
And yes, I know John.
And all that kind
of
stuff. Oh, you know him? Well, you know, he did
it. Yeah, we tried to prevent Angelina from doing her mastectomies.
She didn't.
Medical people had more power than we did.
No, you can't keep nipples. She may have had implants removed, but she didn't have them cut off. She has nipples still. So this is another trick, okay? You know, we've got to look carefully. You got to hone our discernment. But John Voight had a movie, Eternity, I believe it was called. I guess he wrote and directed. And it's about reincarnation and how Orthodox religions believe in that. And I'm pretty sure he was trying to show what happened to his daughter, because it was a daughter with a woman, young woman with dark hair, and how this character back in medieval times was the same one that was now a movie producer, okay, and how he, you know, pushed her up against the wall and raped her, you know, and all the resulting type of things and it would flash back to the medieval times when it was these same actors playing the characters, and how their personalities didn't change, they were just the same. You know, and it came out on Academy Films, but they wouldn't let it go to theaters, Tom. They put it on VHS. That was it. That was in the early 90s. Yeah, but that's a pretty good movie, too. Yeah, can you imagine if all the media that is used to bring us down, a system to destroy, as Blackbird said, were used to build, to uplift us? Can you imagine? You know, because people pay attention to that. If they actually told the truth and uplifted people, it would be amazing. You could turn things around so quickly, you know? But they take God out of it. That's the problem. And they even want to say God didn't exist, or even the ones that say God does exist. We're at the end of the show. Well, remember, Christ's birthday.
Give me a holler. I'd like to talk to you about, my friendship with John Voight as well.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart.
buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.